Well, good afternoon. You have connected to the Geography Teachers Association webinar. I acknowledge the Cammeraygal people who are the traditional custodians on the land on which this facility is situated. I would also like to pay respect to the elders, both past and present, of the Cammeraygal people, and extend that respect to other Aboriginal people present. Well, welcome everyone to our first GTA webinar. Just to start off with, just the elephant in the room is perhaps a frog in the room, so please excuse my froggy throat for the introduction and conclusion of today. This webinar is being hosted at St Ignatius College, and in the room is Claire Canane, who I'll introduce in a moment, and our wonderful IT support of Adrian Hodder and Daniel McCretton. Today, we are just so delighted that so many teachers have joined the webinar. I think we have over 50 today across New South Wales. Your enthusiastic response is just wonderful. So it is an indication of your enthusiasm and your dedication to log into a webinar after school. Could you please click the hands up icon in the top left hand corner of your screen? So then we have an indication of how many people are logged on. We'll just give you a moment to do that. You'll see a tab that says hands up. So thank you very much. Well, today, Claire Canane will be presenting on information technology for the new New South Wales Geography syllabus. And some of you may have met Claire at conferences, and Claire is a very experienced geography teacher. She's very passionate about the application of information technology and geography in teaching and learning. During the presentation, you'll be able to send questions to Claire, and she will address as many of them as possible in the last 10 minutes of the presentation. We may not get to all of them, but we hope to be able to answer your questions via email later on. So I'm just going to hand over to Claire now to start the presentation. Thanks very much, Claire.
Thanks, Sharon. Okay. Screen seems to be frozen. Oh, I got it. It's all good. It's working. That's technology for you. All right. Okay, so a lot of the time when integrating technology into the classroom, it's quite easy to obviously stick your head in the sand and say it's all too hard. But you need to step back and think that the students that are in your classroom are coming to you equipped with technology that is sometimes above and beyond you, but also that they've got the skills as well. So remember that they've got the skills and you can also tap into them. So don't be afraid to use the technology that I'm giving you today, even if you just take one of the tools away and try and use it over the next couple of weeks in your classroom. Try and apply it, see how you go, and also realise that there are other teachers out there who can help you. And I'm more than happy to be there to help you and to help and answer questions as well. So let's get started. Some of the symbols that I'm using throughout this presentation will help you in terms of how difficult the tool is that I'm talking about. So if it's a red puzzle piece, there is some pre-lesson planning required. You can't just walk into the classroom and expect to start using this particular tool. It may even require you to go and have a chat to your IT department and go into more detail with them in terms of how this will actually work in your classroom. If it's an orange puzzle piece, there'll be some pre-lesson planning required. It may require you to do a trial run of the particular tool to run it through with maybe a couple of students or even someone else in your staff room just to see how it goes. The green puzzle piece, great lesson starter, wrap-up or homework task, really, really easy to use. Okay, so some important tips to remember. As I said before, the internet, social media, and electronic devices are fascinating entertainers that hypnotise our students every day, transforming them into iStudents who we've got in the classroom. They're digital natives and they come fully equipped with mobile learning tools and just enough know-how to be dangerous both figuratively and literally speaking. It's taken from a great book called Teaching the iStudent by Mark Barnes. Goes through a lot of tools that you can use with students and also just breaks it down in terms of the type of student that we actually are teaching. And just as a side note, my 10-month-old knows how to use the button on an iPhone. So these are the future students that we're going to be teaching and they're coming equipped with these skills already. So we need to go about creating global learners who are connected. And that's not just connections within the classroom, it's connections within the local community, connections within our country, but also getting them to connect globally. So other schools that we can connect with around the world, experts in our field who we can connect with, creating that learner who's going to go out from the classroom and expand their horizons. Don't be afraid of trying something new and failing at it. Don't be put off from trying it again. All the technology that I've used in the classroom, there are a number of times that it has actually failed or not worked the way you want it to work. Just make sure that you have a backup. That's the most important thing. Tap into your students and learn from them. And also, when going about creating and using these particular tools, make sure you have a teacher account that's associated with all the tools that you're going to be using, just so that you keep your personal and teacher life completely separate. And one of the most important things is your students, even though they have the technology and the tech skills, they don't know how to apply that to the learning. That's your job. You need to link the learning to the technology skills that they actually do have. Okay, so let's move on to some of the tools and tips that we're going to run through today. So the first one is a tool called, or an internet site called Pobble 365. This is a great site which allows students to view an image, different image every single day, which starts a discussion for them. It may start a paragraph for them. It may get them to start thinking about the wider world. You can link it to an extended response. And questions and ideas are actually provided by Pobble linking to the photo. It's a great tool to allow students to increase their literacy skills, thinking skills, and actively participate in group work. It works well with the visible thinking skills of See, Think, Wonder, Think, Puzzle, Explore, and I used to think, but now I think. And any of the content, any of the new content in Stage 4 or 5 can be linked to these photos. On the next slide, I've got an example of one of these. So this is the photo of a volcano that was provided on the Pobble 365 and some of the questions that were linked to that particular image. So what do you think it means by nature taking its revenge? What do you think is the most dangerous part of a volcano? Do you know of any active volcanoes around the world? So these are all really great discussion starters, lesson starters. And it's a really simple and easy way to get your students engaged and talking to each other just to start a lesson. And even down the bottom, can you draw your own volcanic eruption? So working together with that new topic, we've got landforms in Stage 4. So thinking about that and how you can actually apply that and going through the pictures that are actually on this site, which is really, really good. Skype in the classroom. I've used this a couple of times and it's really, really good to do virtual field trips. If you're unable to get outside the classroom or go and visit a particular site for a field trip, then doing it virtually is almost just as good. So Skype in the classroom is completely free to educators and experts around the world to connect and share learning experiences using the standard free version of Skype. To participate, all you need is Skype and a Skype ID, and then you register. You can look through the content, find the perfect learning activity for your students, and then request a session. Skype connects you with experts around the world on particular topics. So thinking about Stage 5 environmental change and management, you have to do an investigative study in that particular unit and you have to compare an Australian example to another country. One of the Skype virtual field trips that you can do is having a look at Yellowstone National Park's big issues and the management that they're doing over there. And you can call in and talk to one of the park rangers over in Yellowstone and then compare that to something that's obviously happening here in Australia. So getting out there, having a look at the wider world and linking your students to somewhere completely different that's on the other side of the world is an amazing resource that you can tap into that's completely free. This one, as you can see, is a red puzzle piece. It will require some planning on your part. It will require you to obviously try it out first and have all the technology ready to go to ensure that the lesson actually does work for you. But when it does work, it's pretty good and pretty amazing. I've seen primary students talking to someone sitting in Antarctica through Skype. So just those type of things that you can actually tap into that are out there makes it pretty impressive. Okay, Wiser.me. I've used this a fair bit in my classroom. It's a tool that allows you to turn your worksheet to an online interactive task for your students to complete in their own time. So it's not necessarily you've got your worksheet that you usually use and then just feed it into the computer and it turns it into a virtual worksheet. You are required to do some work. But at the same time, there are teachers that have already done a lot of these worksheets for you, and they've shared them so you can actually go and access them as well. So you can set homework tasks to this, pre-lesson reviews, even research tasks, student answers are submitted to you for review and correction. And it links to anything, obviously, in the Stage 4 and 5 curriculum. I have provided an example there. At the end of this presentation, I will give you the link to the presentation so you can go away and grab all the links and have a play around. I just have to update that link because I think it's within my particular login, so I will fix that for you. But the worksheets that I've created are out there. They're public. You can go and find them very, very easily. I've created ones on geography skills that you can complete. Even simple things like getting year sevens to do some basic mapping skills are all done there for you as well through WISA. So it's a really good way to allow your students to complete worksheets or complete tasks for you online and getting you to mark them that way as well. Okay, this is amazing. Google Expeditions is obviously a brand new tool that Google has brought out, and it allows you to go to a particular site in the world and have a look using an iPad all the way around that particular site. So it allows students to go on virtual field trips around the world. I put a more information tab there for it. It runs through absolutely everything you need to know about Google Expeditions. It can be used with or without Google Cardboard. So the site says you might need to use it with Google Cardboard. I've used it with students without. All you need is an iPad. And it's quite good in terms of allowing students to have a look at their iPad and go around a particular site in the world. So maybe it's somewhere, a reef underwater. You can actually log in and go and have a look around all of that reef just by using the iPad. And the students can actually stand and move around the classroom, and it takes them around the reef. So they don't just have to sit in their desk as such. You can go to the space station and have a look around the space station. So there are lots of different ones that are already set up for you. They're already designed, set up for you to explore, and you can actually link them to the curriculum and incorporate them into a lesson. An example of this could be the impact of travel, trade, and technology on places around the world, and having a look at how something like Google Expeditions itself is changing the way that we can actually visit sites around the world and the changes that are happening there to them. So it's a brand new resource, and it's pretty fantastic. The kids will actually love it when using the classroom. There's a video there that shows you about how to use it and obviously how it looks in the classroom as well. Presentation tools. I try and encourage my students to move away from PowerPoint as much as possible in terms of how they present their assignments and tasks to me, and even also getting them to work collaboratively on tasks as well. So Microsoft Sway is quite good, Google Slides, Prezi, and ThingLink. ThingLink is really, really good in terms of giving the students an image that's associated with a particular topic and getting them to annotate it with particular bits of information that they go away and research, and then get them to present that to the class, whether you have it set up on images set up on iPads around the classroom so students can do it like a gallery and go around to each student's image and tap the image to find out the information that they've found on that particular topic as such. So that's one way that you could do it if you're not necessarily in an iPad school. I didn't teach at an iPad school. My students had devices which were touch screens, so they created their ThingLink on a device, and then their devices sat around the classroom. The students just went from device to device to have a look at what they've done. It's a very, very easy tool to use. Creating a website for collaborative tasks is another way that you can actually teach your students. So not necessarily just handing them the content, getting them to go away and find the content themselves. So you as a teacher, you create the website, and then you allow students to work together and explore a section of a topic and create a piece of work. It's a great way to actually get them to work together, but also individually. I'm going to open this example in just a second to show you one that I created. It is for the old syllabus, but you could use this pro forma to create your own website for something in the new syllabus as well. I've also got marking criteria for the collaborative side of this particular task and also for the individual side, so I'm happy to send that to you if you want the marking criteria as well. So when thinking about the new syllabus and the new topic areas that you will be teaching, think about things that you could, sections of the syllabus that you could teach in a chunk that could be created into a website that allows the students to go away and build on their research skills. So I'm just going to see if this works if I open this. Fingers crossed. Okay. So the students had to work together in a group. Let's the task instructions opens. So the whole idea was National Geographic had selected them to put together a report on a particular area around the world. They had to report back to their particular group on different sections. So there was one student who would have been the editor, and they had to read through the whole report, read through the submissions from the biologist, the meteorologist, and the anthropologist. They had to write the introduction for the report, coordinate the collaborative component of it, and then complete the checklist, which is all provided there for them as well. One of the students was a biologist. So as the biologist, they had to create a fact page about plants and animals in their particular global environment. Make sure you include images, a paragraph explaining how the local people interact with plants and animals, and a bibliography on the sources that you've used. So it goes on, and each student will have a different task in their particular group. And then there's the group component. So each of those was the individual, and then they have to do a group component as well, so that they're marked twice and differently as well. So doing something like that, this is obviously for the old syllabus when looking at global environments, but you could apply this to any section of the new syllabus for 7 through 10, and it would work really well. So feel free to use that as a pro forma in terms of creating a website. And I use Weebly for that. It's really easy to create your own website using Weebly. Okay. Oh, I put that in as a bit of a break picture because I feel like I've been talking for a while. But think about, obviously, the tools that I've introduced to you so far and how you can apply them to your classroom type of students that you've got. Some of your students will be like the meerkat in the middle, ready to go, really excited, and others will be a little bit more apprehensive in terms of using the tool. So you've just got to obviously work out where they are at it as well. You both have to be comfortable in using the tools in the classroom, and not necessarily you just going in and saying, hey, let's try this. You've got to also remember that your students need to be comfortable and that they're also doing some learning, and it's not just technology for technology's sake and just ticking a box. It's really important to make sure that the tool is actually doing the job for you. Okay, starting points for topics. It's really easy to find lots of resources on the web as lesson starters, but I find images and headlines are really, really great ways to start topics. Being image gallery, where a lot of these images that I've got within this particular presentation come from, have got a great range of photos that are really, really clear, and also a great way to actually start a topic in a classroom. Unsplash is another place where you can grab, and these images, Bing images are obviously copyrighted, but Unsplash ones are free to use and you can do whatever you want with them, and they're a great resource as well. Upworthy is an interesting way of looking at the news. It's a way of presenting the news that they use headlines that hook kids in, or hook young teenagers in to actually have a look at news stories. So getting them to go away from the actual news headlines that are the norm and have a look at Upworthy is another way of obviously starting a lesson or getting them to obviously start a topic. An example of that I've done here is having a look at groceries around the world. So students are either individually or in pairs, examine the images and do a compare and contrast task, or a think, pair, share, or think, puzzle, explore. And it will generate a lot of discussion and can be linked to the topics of place and livability, interconnections, sustainable biomes, and human well-being, which are all brand new topics within our new syllabus. So these are the images. I think I've provided the link. Yeah. So what a week of groceries looks like around the world. And so they're all the images there from around the world in terms of the amount of groceries or the type of food that these people eat. And it comes from Hungry Planet, what the world eats. So that particular link has all those images there for you. Okay, brainstorming, mind mapping, etc. So three great tools to be able to do that. MindMeister, Sketchboard and Padlet are all really good tools that I've used in the classroom. Padlet's fantastic. It allows students to jump on and work together. I've had a whole class use one Padlet. I'll show you the example on the next slide, where we were looking at photograph types, and they had to look at the lots of different photograph types in terms of ground level, aerial, oblique aerial, and I gave them some toys that I bought from the Hot Dollar Shop, and they had to go out into the playground and take their photos with their phone of all those different angles, and then they posted them into Padlet. So it's a great way to allow students to share ideas during the class, because it'll come up during the discussion and while the class is going on, and it allows them to have a voice. And it's a great way to check their understanding as well. In terms of student voice, you may have those students who may be too shy to ask a question or aren't quite sure what they're doing. By using these particular tools, it allows them to obviously see what the rest of the class are doing. So on my next slide, these are the images that one of my Year 7 classes took, just by using the toys out in the playground, and then they just posted them up for the rest of the class to see. So it worked really, really well. And that's Year 7 doing it. So it doesn't necessarily require a lot of technicality, and it works really well. They've all got their phones most of the time. And I understand that some schools may not necessarily allow phones in the classroom. Mine didn't, but I used them anyway. I just told the girls to bring their phones to class. We're going to use it for 15 minutes of the lesson and they could put them away. So you just have to work with what you've got and see how you go. Some visual presentation tools. So allowing students to create infographics, posters, and even memes. So trying to find the easiest way to get them to obviously remember information and present information. You might have a lot of visual learners in your classroom. So using tools like Canva, PicCollage, and PictoChart to create their own infographics to help memorize content or share information that they've found is a great way of obviously allowing them to be a bit more visual instead of just sitting there taking notes off the board or reading through the textbook. Textbooks these days, they are valuable. They're a good starting point for information, but they aren't the be-all and end-all. And students get very, very easily bored of textbooks as well. So use them as a starting point. Use them as a launch pad, obviously, for the topic for you in terms of, okay, this is where the topic starts. This is where we've got to cover. This is what we've got to cover. And then use that to obviously work out where you're going to go next or work out, okay, so I've got some information. How can I make that more visual? Or how can I create a homework task for my students? Well, maybe I can use one of these particular tools with the students to create an infographic or a poster for them to learn from. Google Maps slides and forms. So this particular presentation is done on Google Slides. I've had 10 students work on one Google Slide presentation. So they've each had a section of the slide presentation to complete, and it's allowed them to create a really good collaborative presentation together. Google Maps, you can create your own maps. You can edit maps of the world to suit a particular topic you're doing. On the next slide, I'll show you a map that I did with my Year 12s looking at megacities and world cities and obviously mapping where they are in the world. Google Forms, getting students to create their own surveys if they're doing research tasks. Attaching surveys to those research tasks, Google Forms is a great way of allowing them to do that. So, for example, all my senior classes did their note-taking together. They have a Google Doc open and they would write their notes together and they do research tasks collaboratively. So it felt like they were all in it and everyone had to play a part in that particular task that they were doing. So this is a map that I got. It's only the start of the map, but I asked my students to obviously start creating a map of the world and they can place different landmarks and different images on the map of the world. And then it gives them a visual representation of what's actually happening. So it's a great way to use Google Maps and make it more personal to the topic that you're actually teaching. Oh, break. Do you think we might just actually stop and take some questions? Can we do that? We might just mute you for a second. And then we'll sort of quick start. Okay, so I think there's been one question asked so far, and feel free to keep asking them as the presentation's going on. About Google Expeditions and using it without an iPad and just using it on a generic device. I haven't actually tried it myself. I've only used it on an iPad, but I am pretty sure it's available in the Google Store. But I'm more than happy to go and research that for you and find out how well it does work and get back to you on that one.
We have a second question as well. Does Wiser Me only work on iPads?
No, it works on any device. Yeah, so it's a really good tool. So I used it a lot in my school. We've got a learning management system, and I was able to insert these worksheets into the learning management system at school, and the students were able to go there, complete the worksheet, and the answers would come back to me. So we weren't necessarily an iPad school. We weren't a Mac school at all, so we can use it on any device.
If I could just make a comment about Skype, Claire.
Yeah.
I saw a presentation from a teacher at Ipswich Grammar, and he had used Skype to connect to a school in India, and their Year 7 classes exchanged information. The Indian school provided information about the Ganges, and the Australian boys provided information about the Murray Darling. And so it was, you know, one Skype connection into the classroom, and it was a wonderful experience that they could look at landforms and landscapes in the New South Wales new syllabus, and they just learned so much from each other, and just to see the interaction and the connection that the students made. It's just wonderful.
It is. It's just amazing. And the other thing that Skype allows you to do as well is mystery Skype. So you can Skype another school around the world and not know where they're from, and then you have to work it out as a class by them giving you lots of different tips and things from where they are, and then you end up working out where their location is. It's another great way of obviously getting the students engaged as well. So it works really well. So you don't have questions?
One person has just mentioned that there may be issues with Department of Education schools using Skype.
Yeah. Okay, yes. So I understand there are, and my school also, we use a lot of the tools that obviously department schools, there are some barriers to using those. So it's just a matter of finding the tools that you can use and using those obviously the best you can, and then waiting for the department to...
Also agree.
Open doors and agree.
And also, if you've got some alternative suggestions that you would like to post up in the question box, that'd be fabulous, and we can share those ideas with other people as well. Things that you found as an alternative would be terrific.
If schools allow Google Hangouts is another way of doing that as well. So you don't necessarily have to use Skype. If you can obviously contact another school around the world, getting the contact details of them and doing a Google Hangout with them is another way of obviously connecting to experts around the world and not necessarily using Skype is another alternative as well.
Any other questions?
Not at the moment.
Okay, we'll
continue
then. We'll keep our eye on the questions.
Great.
Thanks, Claire.
Okay, which means we might finish early, but we'll see how we go. My last part of the presentation is discussing flipping the classroom. So you may or may not have heard of this particular term. It is becoming more and more widespread. So the idea behind this is encouraging your students to complete some of their learning at home before coming to the classroom. And most of you will think, well, isn't that just homework? Isn't that what we're getting them to do for homework? But it's not homework. It's a little bit different. Homework tends to consolidate what you've learned in the classroom that day, whereas flipping the classroom is asking the students to actually learn their content before they come into the classroom. It's encouraging them to take a chunk of the learning that you want to cover in the classroom the next day, asking them maybe to read through something, watch a video, take some notes, and engage with the content before you get into the classroom. So in other words, the classroom has been flipped. So the students are teaching themselves. And I can hear already some people out there, well, my students don't even do homework. How am I going to encourage them to obviously do this kind of thing? And the tip to that is making it as engaging as possible. That's the most important thing. And once a student comes to the classroom and hasn't completed the flipped part, and they'll see that the rest of the class actually has, then you'll find that they do it the next time. So it's all about encouraging them to complete some of their learning before coming to the classroom. And your lessons then change. Your lessons are more student-centred. They're more centred around exploring the topic further and going deeper. It really requires you to create lessons where you've got students doing more hands-on things, more research, more discussion, more engaging with the topic and not necessarily just taking notes, answering questions, talking with just one-on-one with the teacher. It's actually getting them to go further with that. So I've done this at lots of different levels. I've done it with my Year 7s and 8s where it's a very beginner type of flipping the classroom where the students will go out and watch a particular video, read a particular article, or even just look at an image And then they have to engage with that by answering questions, which encourage them to go deeper with that particular section of the topic. Then in the next lesson, when they come back to class, I then build on concepts and take them further. And you find that your students will actually learn faster and get through the topic of the content a lot quicker. So the two tools that I've put up there for you, Verso and TED, completely free. Verso is fantastic. It even has lessons planned for you. It shows you how to write questions that ask your students, not necessarily those really basic questions when viewing a video. So what did the person say at this particular time of the video? It encourages them to actually watch the video completely before answering the questions. And TED's the same. TED allows you to provide multiple choice questions for the students, allows you to provide longer response questions for the students. So the questions that are set are not necessarily just getting them to type an answer. It allows them to actually go deeper with it. So that's what I tend to do with my year sevens and eights, and even some of my nines as well when I'm teaching year nines. But when I'm taking it to the senior years, and I found this worked really well with my HSE class last year, when they were in year 11, I started the Cornell note taking with them. I taught them how to, when watching a video, to take Cornell notes from that particular video. And that's not necessarily just taking down everything that's said in the video. It's watching the video through once and then watching it through a second time and taking in their notes in a particular pro forma that allows them to make it nice and clear for them. So once I taught my year 11s that, I then filmed all of my lessons by myself. I created videos of every single lesson for my year 12 topics. So that my students before the lesson would actually watch me, unfortunately, teaching them their content through a video. They would take notes from that, and then when we came into the classroom the next day, I didn't feel I was needing to rush through the syllabus as much by doing this. I was able to actually extend my students. We were able to obviously go further with the topic. We were able to say, for example, we were looking at ecosystems. We were able to look at more than just that particular ecosystem and compare it to other ones because of the content that we were able to cover before the lesson. It's all about collaboration, consolidation, further research, obviously expanding on the topic through exam-style questions, class discussion, further research. Some of the tools that I use to flip my lessons, Screencast-O-Matic is fantastic. It allows you to have your presentation on the screen. You then film yourself talking through your particular presentation that you've done for the students, and then it creates a video and links it to YouTube for you. It's all very, very simple and easy. And then my presentations were done using either Prezi Sway or Google Slides. And I've got my own YouTube channel as well. So that's a teacher-based channel where I just pull my videos up for my students to access. And they were also linked into the learning management system that we had at school. I've popped one of my boring videos up there for you. So feel free to watch that if you really want to. But that's the start of the flipping the lesson where my students would obviously watch that, take their notes, and then come into the classroom the next day. So it changed how teaching worked for me, and I found it worked really well with Year 12. Year 12 are obviously much more engaged. They need to be there, want to be there, and so they took it seriously, and their learning changed, and it obviously showed through the marks that they got in the end. They did really well on the HSC last year. And I think it's where learning is heading. And obviously when our students go off to university, this is the type of learning that they will be doing, where they have to obviously do a lot more before they come into the lecture or a lot more before they come into the tutorial. So it teaches them some really good skills before they get out of the classroom. And I had a feeling that might be it. So there's the link to the presentation for you. So I'll just leave that up on the screen so you can obviously take that down, and that will give you everything that's in this presentation. Just feel free to ask more questions.
Okay, could I just ask about the flipped classroom in your year 11, 12 students?
Yeah.
Did you notice a significant improvement in the time you were able to focus on short response and extended response where they had, you know, read the information? So were you able to focus on their exam skills more? And if so, did you notice a change?
Yeah, absolutely. So by them completing the lesson content before the lesson as such, we were able to come in and then apply that to exam style questions and questions that they would be getting in the HSE eventually. And by doing those and answering them as a class and seeing what each other would come up with that particular answer, really consolidated. And by the time we got to the HSE, they felt that they'd answered every single question possible that was out there. So it really helped them, yeah.
And there's obviously a lot of time that goes into creating the videos. You know, how much time would you have spent in creating little videos, and was there a trade-off then? Once you've done it, it was done for that unit?
Yeah, absolutely. I had a lot of, when I was teaching this to the teachers at my school, a lot of the question was, well, I'm a time poor teacher, I don't have the time to dedicate to this. But I actually found that once I'd done my first video, it was really easy after that. So the time that you did spend, I would spend maybe on weekends, maybe a couple of hours doing my lessons for the week. And because it was the first time I was doing it, it would just be week by week that I'd be creating the lessons. And then during school holidays, if I had a bit more of a chunk of time, I would then obviously do the whole term. But once they were done, the relief that, oh my good, my lesson's done, I now had to just focus on obviously doing consolidation with my students, teaching them how to answer exam questions, teaching them the geography skills that you never really get to in the time that you've got to teach the content. It changed the way that you walk into the classroom. You'd walk in with relief more than anything, I think, because you're like, okay, this is what we're heading, this is what we've done. And the students also felt that too, because they'd already covered the content. And they were also able to ask questions that would come up while they were watching the video too, that they wouldn't necessarily have time to ask in class. So it made it a lot easier for them as well. Yeah.
And it wasn't always a video. Sometimes it was articles.
Yeah. Yeah, so it wasn't necessarily just me talking to them the whole time. It would be either go and read this or go and watch this particular video. Yeah.
And what about the students who came in and hadn't done it?
Well, they learned pretty quickly if they hadn't done it, because the whole discussion within the classroom was around the content that they watched the night before, the couple of nights before. And they felt that they obviously weren't necessarily engaged with the class. So it's really important to ensure that they were watching it. But then there was a couple of students, I had a lot of elite sports kids in my class who were obviously away doing a lot of sport or weren't in class and missed a lot. So it did help them because the video is already done for them and they could just watch it and get the notes that way. But if I noticed there was a student who would constantly not do it, who constantly just turn up and hadn't done it, and you could tell because they weren't able to answer the questions or weren't able to engage in the discussion, that would then be a quiet discussion after class in terms of what's happening. Do you not have access to this at home? Are you not having enough time to do this? And then working with them. And a lot of the time I'd have them in with me at lunchtime and we'd just sit and watch it and take notes from it together. So it's just finding that time to do that with them.
Okay, Claire, we've got another question. Mm-hmm. So with flipped learning, what did you find was the optimum length of pre-lesson material for year 11 and 12 each week?
4 minutes per video. You can't go beyond that. Sometimes my videos were 6 minutes, but you can see that their concentration levels tend to wane very, very quickly. We've got kids who like to look at things instantly. If they're on Instagram, you watch them scroll and they just go so quickly. They don't even take note of what they're actually looking at. They might stop every now and then and double click it and it's a like, but at the same time, they're very, very quick. So you have to keep your content as short as possible. So I found 4 to 6 minutes works really well, and going beyond that is impossible to get them to learn.
And we've all just had a comment come through that someone has tried the link just at the end there.
Oh,
and they said they just got a message to say something's wrong here. So we will check that.
We will
check that for you. Yeah. And we will email it out to everyone as well. Yeah. Who's been part of the presentation. So we'll make sure that works. Ladies and gentlemen, because this is our first one, could I just ask you perhaps to put it through the Q&A, the question box, just to comment about how the technology worked for you in this instance, because, you know, obviously we would like to do this. We're doing one again next week. But I'll just give you a minute, and if you wouldn't mind just typing in something for us as well about how the technology worked.
You can do that. Just push that.
I'm also just going to update the link for you while you're doing that.
I think someone has just said it does work, just case sensitive. Oh. Okay, so you just could say, you might want to check that.
That's
Okay, good. Thank you for these comments coming through. Look, we really appreciate that. Great. Okay, so there's some really positive comments coming through, but we also would like to hear from people, you know, if your sound dropped out or you had difficulty, but we'll certainly be able to post Claire's presentation. Great, yes, keep the comments coming. That's fabulous. And while you're doing that, on behalf of the GTA, we would really like to thank Claire for so generously sharing her experiences and expertise. There's some great ideas there that we can adapt to the new syllabus, and we hope you're enjoying the opportunity to delve into the new syllabus, and I'm sure the students would be as well. So if you enjoyed today's presentation, that's just a little taster really of what's coming at our annual conference on the 9th and 10th of March at the Novotel at Sydney Olympic Park. We have some wonderful keynote speakers, masterclasses. There are over 48 workshops over the 2 days. Information is available on the website. There are some bursaries and scholarships on offer. We have specific primary scholarships available. And also there are a lot of workshops designed for primary as well as secondary teachers. So not only that, there's a lot of collegiality, collaboration, and it's a ton of fun getting together. I know we enjoy sharing what we do, and our bottom line is it's all about helping our students. So we hope to have lots of fun. So please go online and go to the website or ask your head teacher for some information about the conference. We would love to see you there in person. However, we do have another webinar next week, and I'm going to be presenting on getting ready for a summative task, particularly if you're new to teaching geography or returning after a while and you've got a senior class, they're coming up for exams. This might be just a good opportunity to refresh the procedures for setting up a summative task where the students will have the opportunity to really shine, and that's what we want. We want a task that is well designed so our students have the best opportunity to show off what they know. So that's going to be next week, and please register for that as you did for this webinar, and we'd love to see you join us again next week. We'd like to particularly thank the IT staff at St Ignatius College for making this webinar possible. We'd like to especially thank Brett Horton, who is the Director of IT here, Daniel McCratton and Adrian Hodder, who have been in the room throughout the presentation. Thanks, guys, for making it possible to connect to teachers throughout the state. So I'm just going to have a quick look through to see if there are any other questions that we can answer here. But thank you for your very, very positive comments. We've got one here. Is there a plan to do a primary webinar? Look, we are also getting together some primary resources. Grant Kleeman is getting together a group of primary teachers to produce resources. So let me take that one to Grant Kleeman, because we would love to get some teachers together for that K2 stage 3 and have a discussion around that as well. Adrian, just as we're working through there, any other questions there? I think one there, where can we find Claire's presentation? We'll email it out to you.
Yeah,
we'll email it out to all the participants today, so you've got that. And I think that that might be all for today.
Yeah.
And look, thank you so much for joining us. And if you can think of anything else that you would like to add, you can always feed back to us through Claire's email, which will be on the presentation, or to myself, Sharon McLean, I'm one of the vice presidents at GTA. So we look forward to seeing you next week, and hearing you next week, and also meeting you at the conference. So thanks very much.
Thanks, everyone.